In 793, Vikings raided the monastery on Lindisfarne Island. This event marked the beginning of the Viking Age in Europe. In Britain, people began to watch the sea with dread every day, anticipating the arrival of these fearsome raiders. At that time, England was divided into seven separate kingdoms, known as the Heptarchy. These small kingdoms lacked the resources to build a fleet for sea defense. Their armies were often insufficient even for protecting important capitals, let alone defending coastal villages. Within 50 years, the Vikings had plundered Canterbury, Dorchester, London, and many other smaller towns, and the Viking attacks continued unabated. During this period, significant changes also occurred in England. Northumbria, weakened by civil wars, effectively fragmented into three parts. East Anglia came under the control of the Mercians and became independent. Mercia itself reached the height of its power, incorporating Middlesex and Essex and establishing a protectorate over neighboring kingdoms. Nevertheless, it soon plunged into civil war and never regained its former strength. Meanwhile, Wessex experienced the greatest expansion, annexing Sussex and Kent. The Saxons also soon defeated the Mercians and established a border with them along the rivers Lee and Thames. In 865, 300 Drakkars landed at the Isle of Thanet. A Viking army, numbering between 5,000 and 10,000 warriors, arrived in Britain. The Scandinavian sagas identify the leaders as the sons of the legendary Danish king Ragnar Lodbrok, Ivar the Boneless, Ubba the Terrible, and Halfdan Ragnarsson. English chronicles referred to this army by two names, the Great Danish Army and the Great Pagan Army. The sagas attribute the invasion to a desire for revenge for the death of Ragnar, who, a year earlier, had been captured by the Northumbrian king Ella II and was cruelly executed. However, historians are critical of this version. King Ella II could not have executed Lodbrok, as he was not crowned at the time and was merely contending for power with his brother. Ragnar himself is more of a mythical figure than a historical one, and accounts of his sons are highly confusing. Different sagas even disagree on which of Ragnar's sons led the Danish army. Ultimately, the idea of avenging the death of a renowned king serves as a convenient justification for the conquest, which, in essence, was the nature of the Danish invasion. The inhabitants of Kent, which included the Isle of Thanet, were not keen on fighting the Vikings, and therefore paid a ransom in exchange for a promise to leave Kent in peace. The Vikings then sailed to East Anglia. Its king, Edmund I, also preferred not to engage in battle and paid a ransom as well. However, this time the Vikings requested to stay through the winter. They constructed their own fort and also acquired horses, which made their army not only the largest, but also the most formidable on the island. In the autumn of 866, the Vikings moved towards Northumbria. At that time, the war for the crown had just ended with Ella II's victory. He had taken Jorvik, while his brother Osbert was hiding with his supporters. Ella's forces were weakened by the conflict, so it was no surprise that as soon as the Vikings reached Efferwick, Ella II fled from the capital. The following year, Ella joined forces with his brother to reclaim Efferwick. However, the Northumbrians were ambushed in the capital. Both brothers were killed, either on the battlefield or in captivity, where Ella was executed in a particularly brutal manner, known as the Blood Eagle. The Vikings divided the captured lands of Northumbria along the River Tyne. To the south, Efferwick was renamed Jorvik and became the capital of the Danish Kingdom of Jorvik. To the north, the English Northumbria remained, where the Vikings installed a puppet king. The Vikings then set their sights on Mercia. In 868, they captured Nottingham. Mercian King Burgred I sought help from Wessex. Together, they managed to halt the Viking advance and force them to agree to a truce in exchange for a generous monetary payment. The following year, the Vikings once again invaded Mercia, but this time they honored their promise. Instead of plundering the kingdom's lands, they peacefully moved on to East Anglia, where they had no such obligations. The local king, Edmund, tried to stop them, but was defeated in the Battle of Thetford. Edmund was captured and met a martyr's death, for which he was later canonized as a saint by the church. The Vikings remained in East Anglia, where, according to Saxon chronicles, they were led by Halfdan Ragnarsson. Naturally, such successes did not go unnoticed in Scandinavia. New bands of conquerors began to set out from their homelands to England, eager to join the successful campaign. In 870, King Bagsec arrived in the East Anglia with a large contingent of warriors, known in the chronicles as the Great Summer Army. His origins remain unknown to this day, but his forces bolstered the Viking presence in England significantly. At the end of 870, Halfdan and his army traveled up the Thames into the heart of the island. They captured Reading, from which the Vikings began raiding the lands of Wessex. King Ethelred laid siege to Reading at the start of 871, and even defeated the Vikings in several minor battles. However, with the reinforcements from Bagsec, the Vikings managed to break through and started pursuing the retreating Saxons. Nonetheless, near Ashdown, the Saxons gave a strong fight and defeated the enemy. The battle saw the rise of the young Etheling Alfred, the brother of King Ethelred, who led a successful attack that secured the victory for the Saxons. The Vikings suffered heavy losses, with King Bagsec killed on the battlefield, and his forces began to panic and flee from Wessex. King Ethelred pursued the Vikings, attacking their forces in several minor engagements. In one of these skirmishes, he sustained a fatal wound. Alfred, who would come to be known as the Great, succeeded him as the new King of Wessex. The Vikings did not have to wait long for new victories. In the summer of 871, King Guthrum led the Vikings. It is unclear whether he arrived with the Ragnarsson brothers at the beginning of the campaign or joined later. As a former Danish prince who had lost the struggle for the throne, he sought a new homeland with his supporters and brought nearly 100 ships and over 3,000 warriors to England. Under Guthrum's command, the Vikings resumed their offensive and laid siege to Alfred's forces at Wilton. However, both sides were exhausted from the prolonged conflict, and Guthrum soon agreed to leave Wessex. In return, Alfred paid a substantial ransom to the Vikings, known as the Danegeld, or Danish money. To fund this, he had to introduce a new tax in the kingdom, initially as a temporary measure, and later as a permanent one. The Vikings retreated to London, but did not abandon their plans to fight the Saxons. Alfred understood this and began preparing for a new conflict. He initiated a crucial military reform, shifting from conscripting all men into his army to establishing a system under which only every 10th man was required to serve in the military, while the remaining 9 were responsible for supporting him. This approach created a more professional and capable fighting force. In the autumn, as the Vikings prepared for a new campaign, news arrived from the north. The Northumbrians had risen against the Danes and expelled their puppet rulers. In response, Halfdan swiftly moved his forces north and, over the course of a year, ruthlessly suppressed the Anglian uprising before declaring himself King of Jorvik. Meanwhile, Guthrum settled in East Anglia and proclaimed himself its king. 2 years later, the Vikings launched invasions of Mercia from both sides. The Mercian king did not even attempt to fight and fled from Britain. The Mercian Jarls were assembled at Repton and forced to swear allegiance to the Vikings. Mercia was then divided into two parts, one under Viking control and the other under Anglian control, where a puppet king from the Danes was installed. After this, the Vikings split up. Halfdan headed north, focusing on the security of his own kingdom, which was being raided by Scots and Britons. Guthrum decided to continue the war with Wessex. In 875, he led his fleet and launched an attack on the Saxons from the south and captured Wareham. Alfred immediately set out to confront the Vikings and laid siege to Guthrum. In negotiations, he agreed to a significant monetary payment in exchange for peace. Guthrum then sailed back home, but 2 years later, he returned and captured Exeter. The situation repeated itself. Alfred laid siege to the Vikings and began negotiations for a ransom for peace, It was here, according to legend, that a conversation took place between Guthrum and an unknown Saxon hostage. The Viking king inquired about how to defeat Wessex, and was told in response that he either needed to gather a larger army than Wessex or abandon the idea of conquering the kingdom altogether. In the autumn of that year, the Danes were expected to receive reinforcements, more than 100 ships. As soon as the ships appeared on the horizon, Guthrum executed all the hostages and ceased negotiations. Yet, his fleet was caught in a storm, and almost all the ships sank. The Vikings once again entered into negotiations. Alfred paid a ransom for the Vikings to leave Wessex. However, this agreement did not last long either. Alfred spent the year of 878 at his country residence in Chippenham, located near the Thames. This was an extremely risky decision, as the Viking territories began just across the river. Guthrum could not miss such a mistake by the King of Wessex. He unexpectedly attacked and captured Chippenham, and then proceeded towards the capital of Wessex. King Alfred managed to escape from the city by a miracle. With a small band of soldiers, he took refuge in the Somerset Marshes while the Vikings occupied his kingdom. At the same time, Jarl Ubba settled in Devonshire. He launched several raids into Somerset, but was unable to capture Alfred. The Saxons of Devonshire then gathered their own army, led by Odda, Ealdorman of Devon. They defeated the Vikings in the Battle of Cynwit, and Ubba was killed in the fight. Once Devonshire was liberated, Alfred arrived immediately. Under his command were now over 3,000 warriors. Over time, additional forces from the rest of Wessex began to join Alfred, effectively doubling the Saxon forces. At this time, Guthrum was celebrating his victory, having settled in Chippenham, unaware of Ubba's defeat and Alfred's gathering of forces. Even the approach of the Saxons was unexpected for the Vikings. Hastily gathering their forces, they moved to Ethandun, where they occupied the Bratton Castle to block Alfred's path. The Saxons, with their numerical advantage and better battle preparation, quickly defeated the Vikings, and the remnants of their army were besieged at Bratton Castle for another 2 weeks. Eventually, the starving Vikings sought peace. According to the treaty, Guthrum had to convert to Christianity, and the Vikings departed from both Wessex and Western Mercia. Alfred soon allied himself with the ruler of Mercia by marrying his daughter Ethelflaede to him. The Vikings were defeated, and their conquests came to an end. However, the war between the Danes and the Saxons in Britain did not cease. Now, Wessex went on the offensive. After his glorious victory, Alfred did not stop preparing for war. He began constructing forts throughout the kingdom, known as burhs, which were intended to halt Viking advances in case of an attack. To protect against sea invasions, Alfred also started building a fleet of ships that were larger and more formidable than the Viking Drakkars. The Vikings, who had only nominally submitted to Guthrum, did not adhere to the peace. One of their bands settled in London and continuously raided Wessex. Eventually, this became intolerable to Alfred, and in 886, he crossed the Thames with his army and laid siege to London. The Vikings were unprepared for this, and the city quickly fell into Saxon hands. Guthrum once again sought peace. England was divided into two parts. The border ran from London to Chester, and was marked by the ancient Roman road from Canterbury to Wroxeter, now known to the English as Watling Street. On one side, the Saxons held power, while the other side, known as the Danelaw, or Danella in Old English, was Viking territory. The Danella was not a separate state. Formally, it remained the same kingdoms that existed before the Viking invasions. What distinguished it from the rest of England was that Scandinavian jarls ruled there. Legal matters were adjudicated according to Scandinavian laws, and the prevailing customs were largely Scandinavian. It was also open to settlers from the north. The Viking coalition in the Danelaw quickly disintegrated. Kings in the region changed almost yearly, making their authority largely nominal. Real power was held by local jarls, who continually fought amongst themselves for the right to become king. The Danelaw became a pirate stronghold, with Vikings from Britain even venturing out to raid Scandinavian lands. Eventually, the Danelaw was divided into three regions: the Kingdom of Jorvik, where the descendants of Halfdan and Ivar Ragnarsson ruled and constantly fought among themselves for power; the Kingdom of East Anglia, where Guthrum managed to maintain control until 890, when a civil war broke out; and the lands of the Five Boroughs, where power was held by a coalition of jarls. Soon, Alfred had the opportunity to test his reforms. A band of Vikings under the command of Jarl Hastin, who had previously raided the Franks, arrived in Britain. Hastin landed in Kent in 892, but after a brief period of plundering the country, he was forced to flee from Alfred, abandoning much of his army on the Kentish shore, where they were defeated by the Saxons. In 893, Hastin raided Devonshire and then invaded Mercia, where he was defeated in the Battle of Buddington, but subsequently captured Chester. Still, he did not hold the city for long, and abandoned it later that same year. In 894, his army settled in Essex, constructing a fort at Bedford near London. However, by the following year, Alfred arrived with his army and expelled Hastin from Britain. In 896, another significant event for the Saxons occurred. They managed to defeat the Vikings at sea for the first time off the coast of Dorset, at the cost of considerable losses. In 899, King Alfred died. The Wessex crown passed to his young son, Edward I, after a power struggle with his cousin Ethelwold. Lacking a significant army, Ethelwold lost the conflict and fled to the Danelaw, seeking help from the Vikings. The Vikings, led by the King of East Anglia, Eorric I, attacked Wessex by sea, plundered the lands, and then retreated. In response, Edward I launched a campaign into East Anglia and captured Essex. On their return, the Kentish forces lagged behind the rest of the army. The Vikings attacked the Kentish men at home. Despite defeating the Kentish forces, both Ethelwold, the claimant to the Wessex throne, and Eorric I, the Viking king, were killed in the battle. Life was particularly troubled for the inhabitants of Mercia, as their kingdom was split in half by the Danelaw. In 909, the Mercian ruler Ethelred II invaded the Danelaw with the formal pretext of protecting sacred relics stored there. The Mercians managed to capture some forts, but were unable to hold them. In 910, the king of Jorvik, Halfdan II, invaded Mercia and began raiding it. Ethelred II, waiting for Edward, set out to confront the Vikings. In the Battle of Tettenhall, the Allied forces defeated the Vikings, and Halfdan II and his brothers were killed in the fight. While the Vikings of the Danelaw were fighting in Mercia, the semi-legendary Norwegian king Harald Fairhair invaded the Danelaw. Frustrated by the frequent Viking raids from Britain on his lands, he sought to retaliate. He destroyed forts, plundered wealth, and carried off a significant number of captives, which effectively undermined the power of the Vikings in the Danelaw. The Battle of Tettenhall also had its casualties for the Mercians. Among those wounded was Ethelred II, who received a fatal injury. His wife, Ethelflaed, daughter of Alfred the Great, took charge of Mercia. She strengthened the Mercian army, constructed a new line of fortifications along the border with the Danelaw, and in 917 led a campaign to Derby, reclaiming the eastern lands for Mercia. In 918, Edward I defeated the East Anglian Vikings at Thamesford, killing their king, and annexed the kingdoms of East Anglia to his own territories. In the same year, Ethelflaed passed away, and Edward united Wessex and Mercia. Shortly before his death, he also established a protectorate over Jorvik. Edward I divided his inheritance among his sons. He gave Mercia to his eldest illegitimate son, Ethelstan, and Wessex to his second son, Elfweird. However, Elfweird soon died. Some believed that Ethelstan was involved in his brother's death, and he subsequently unified the two kingdoms. This strengthening of the Anglo-Saxons did not sit well with their neighbors. King Constantine II of Alba attempted to aid the Vikings in resisting the Anglo-Saxons, but this only provoked a campaign by Æthelstan, who quickly captured Jorvik before the Scots could arrive. Æthelstan began preparing for retaliation against the Scots. In 934, Æthelstan invaded Alba and plundered it. Constantine II retreated to the mountains and did not engage in battle. Instead, he began assembling a coalition against Æthelstan. This coalition included Owain ap Dyfnwal of Strathclyde, the King of Dublin and son of the last King of Jorvik, Olaf Guthfridsson, the Vikings of Man, the Hebrides, and the Orkney Islands, collectively known as the Kingdom of the Isles, as well as some Jorvik Jarls who wanted to rid themselves of Anglo-Saxon rule. In 937, an army of Vikings, Welsh, and Scots, totaling over 10,000 warriors, invaded England. They occupied Northumbria and united in Jorvik, from where they proceeded to raid Mercia. Æthelstan gathered his forces and set out to meet them. The armies clashed at Brunanburh, the exact location of which remains unknown. Brunanburh marked the final unification of the Anglo-Saxons. Where once they had been Saxons, Angles, Mercians, and Northumbrians, they returned from the battle as English. Together, they defeated their opponents. Olaf and Constantine fled the battlefield, and Owain was likely killed as he disappears from historical records following the battle. The English managed to retain all the territories they had gained and established a new state on the European map, England. This new entity would face further conquests and challenges in the following century.